contractor work agreements, one for design and one for construction. This is the are the existing conditions on Bybee Boulevard. If you look at that picture on the left, you can see that the street is paved, but there's a dirt shoulder, no sidewalk along the north side of the street. This particular street is like 18.4% of the streets in the city of Portland. They have existing pavement, but they don't have curb, drainage, or sidewalks, all of which will be added as part of this project. And just to note that this particular project is in the Brentwood-Darlington neighborhood, and Brentwood-Darlington has a much higher proportion of substandard street. Their proportion is 44.3% versus 18.4% citywide. Over on the right, you can see existing substandard housing. That's certainly going to get improved when the property redevelops. And then I've noted below the possible additional improvements to 81st Place. So the ordinance, the formation ordinance that would come before you following passage of this resolution would grant authority to the city engineer and to the local improvement district administrator to negotiate extra work agreements for 81st Place. This is a picture of 82nd Avenue. You can see that there's an existing sidewalk on the west side of the street, but it's in very poor condition and would be replaced as part of this project. Southeast 82nd Avenue has a lot of pedestrian activity and transit activity with the most frequent bus line in the TriMet system, so the pedestrian facilities are important. The picture there in the center is a building that is awaiting final approval of the building permit, which council passage of the LID formation ordinance will allow. And then finally, the picture on the right shows some remainder of the property, all of which would, this LID would help set the stage for redevelopment. And the last picture here shows you the possible development that may occur at this site. And we have three property owners here with us to talk to you about this project. Thank you.
Please come forward. Glad you're here. Thanks for waiting. You got to see a little bit of local democracy happen. Bridge getting built, union contracts being settled, so thanks for sticking with us. Who would like to begin?
Oh, good morning, Mayor and City Commissioner. My name is Tim Nguyen, and I'm the property owner.
Good morning, Commissioner and Mayor Adams. Samantha Dang, I'm a property owner as well.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Art Duhan. I am not a property owner. I'm probably the designer that's caused most of the development for this site through Tim and Samantha. And a little insight into the development and the reason for this LID project is due to financial guarantees that would force us to do a public works project, and getting the bond for that is right now is very difficult. I don't care where you are at in the upper echelons of construction. just getting a bond in general right now is very difficult, and we were facing permits being terminated, and this was one last step that the BDS kind of gave us as check into it, and it's turned around quite well, gave us new life in this project.
Do you agree?
Yes, we have been on this project, Tim and Art and I, for I would say about 8 years. Art has had four children in the meantime. And so we've had so many roadblocks, and the project has been stalled financially as well as with the city, with different things that have been going on. And so we were not able to develop the 82nd Avenue and the property as we had wanted to develop it. And it was very important for my husband and I to take this place and get some energy into it and get some life into it. We used to live there and we work there still, and it's a part of 82nd that is more depressed than the surrounding areas. It's part of Brentwood-Darlington and has been our home for about 9 years. And so we really would like to see this place develop and realize our vision with the plans that we have. And the city has been supportive, but there has been no real avenue for us to continue with this project. So finally, we were able to meet with Andrew Abbey, and he was able to help us restart this project and get it going so that we could get an LID started and then hopefully get our permit so finally we can build this place and get some more energy and life into 82nd Avenue. And that's just been our vision. And most of the money has been that we have put in has been our own money. And so that's part of the reason why it has been stalled. So with the economy being so bad and now things are getting better, we're hoping that this will be able to help us start the project again and then finish it. And I think that the vision that we have is really good for the economy, as well as bringing in business and bringing housing into the place, making it just a better place, and along the lines of 82nd Avenue being 82nd Avenue of Roses. I think that's been our goal from day one.
Thank you very much.
Maybe I missed it, but what exactly is the project? It looks great. Oh, you're going to cover that. Okay.
Yeah. On the project, we have we've been working with the PDC, PDOT, ODOT since 2004. And we changed the zoning, and we own almost the whole block there. So I changed the property to the commercial general zone. And on the project, there are three phases that we're going to do. The first one is when we finished up of building office in the front. And then the building on the pictures below is going to be our plan is to put in retirement home for elderly people to live there, and low-income housing. We're hoping to get that stage. That's the second phase of it. And then on the pictures above that is also on 81st Place that we're going to put in 5-row home for people that can live there and can do business there. And the last phase is going to be another building on 82nd that we'd like to put in the dentist office, doctor's office, which my brother-in-law is a dentist for over 20 years. And that's the third phase. We're going to put like a local business there. The people don't have the community too much to go anywhere. They're going to just live there, and then they go visit doctor's office, dentist's office in front, just little shop. Basically, my vision is to plan to build like a small community. You work there, and you do business there.
So I remember having a hearing on this about 5 years ago.
Yes.
And there were some issues with the building that exists.
Yes.
With BDS in terms of the legality of it?
Yes.
And as I recall, you were going to actually remove it?
We do have the permit for the building is under the permit, the residential permit. And now after we change to the commercial zone, we have to revise the plan, redesign everything to meet the commercial code, and which we've been through for 3-4 years to redesign it. And now the permit, everything's approved. Except we need to put in a sidewalk on 82nd, and I'm just signing a contract to contribute my land along 82nd and Bybee to put in the sidewalk. And that's the last step. We need to provide a bond to get the permit. But I've been calling around a lot of bonding companies out of business. A lot of my subcontractors couldn't get the bond for the sidewalk. And so the last step that we met with Andrew, and the city introduced us with Andrew, and we worked with him. He's very aggressive, and we have some help from the city. They're going to design for us for the clean water, storm drain, curb to put in, and we're going to have the city to design it and to build it, and we're going to pay it in a monthly payment down the road. But our permits is all ready to go right now.
So it's just so I'm clear, you're going to keep this building and legalize it?
Yes. The permits actually have been approved to the point of where they're awaiting transportation approval. We have gone through the building, and actually we've downsized some of it due to fire rating. But it is going to stay when we're meeting the planning and zoning requirements, as well as the requirements of the land use approval.
And then the sketch we see on the back, does that incorporate the existing building?
No, that sketch that you see on the back is another, excuse me, is the retirement home.
Which would be separate from?
It would be separate from the building that's located out there right now.
And so you're saying that you've worked with the Portland Development Commission and other entities to arrange financing to allow you to go to the next stage?
Yes. I've been working with PDS for almost 4 or 5 years, and they have the funding just kind of like reserved for us as soon as we get the permit to finish up the first phase, which is the building office on 82nd.
So you said BDS. Did you mean PDC?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, PDC. It was PDC.
Okay.
Other discussion? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Unless there is additional questions for staff. Are there additional questions for staff?
I just want to make some comments. Yep. It's not an emergency, right? We're not voting today.
Right.
I am very pleased with how the property owners and Andrew and the staff in BDS and transportation have worked on this. I think it does bring vibrancy to a part of 82nd that certainly needs it. It brings sidewalks on a major transit street. And what's particularly innovative is that the city, by forming this LID, the city is in charge of the project and make sure it gets done. So it's another of the silver linings of the recession where the bonding is not as available. We've had problems in the past with bonds being taken out, but then the sidewalk never gets built. This structure means that the city's in charge of the project, that the sidewalks will get built, and it works for the property owners as well because you get to finish your project, be properly permitted. So I really commend BDS staff and transportation staff and Andrew for working with you and your willingness to work with us to do the right thing in this case. And thank you very much.
And I was mistaken. It is a resolution. So would you please call the vote?
Prince.
With those comments, I'm happy to vote aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Houseman?
Well, this seems like a great project, and I'm glad it's on track again, and thanks to Andrew and the city for helping make that so, along with the necessary public improvements. Aye.
Leonard?
I do hope this is the piece that allows the project to go forward, because I remember vividly the hearing, because I live out that way, and I drive by there often, and I've often wondered, you know, why is the project stalled, so it's good to hear the explanation, and I hope it does move forward quickly, because it's an area that could use this kind of help. Aye.
Adams.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, item number 125?
Authorize revenue bonds to finance a portion of the cost of the Selwood Bridge replacement project.
I'm Mr. Johansson. Welcome back.
Good morning.
What are we looking at here?
Well, this is one of the implementing items for the intergovernmental agreement that you just heard a few minutes ago. This ordinance will authorize the issuance of up to $100 million of limited tax revenue bonds plus the cost of issuance and the funding of any reserves for the purpose of fulfilling our obligation to the Selwood Bridge project. The bonds are expected to be repaid from a portion of the transportation revenues that are coming in from House Bill 2001, as you heard in the previous item. The city expects to receive about $20 million per year from those House Bill 2001 revenues, and as we've discussed, the debt service on the bonds is projected to be not greater than $8 million per year. So we'll be using a portion of the $20 million to fund the debt service on this particular project. These bonds will be backed by the full faith and credit of the city. Under the terms of the intergovernmental agreement, the first $70 million of our $100 will be delivered to, will be made available to the county not later than December 31st of 2012. The remaining up to $30 million is expected to be made available on or about September 1st of 2014. So we'll be looking at least two bond issues to implement this obligation. The bonds are expected to be sold through competitive bidding, and the first sale is anticipated for the middle to latter part of 2012. With that, I'll take any questions.
Let me restate what I think I just heard, and that is that only $8 million of the $20 million that we are projecting to receive from the state is dedicated to this project at this
Correct.
Time.
Correct.
And then you said that the full faith and credit of the city is backing it, but then the remainder of that $20 million would be first, the gas tax revenues, before the general fund would be at risk.
That would be a budgetary decision, but I think that's the likely course that one might take if necessary.
Thank you.
I don't understand that exchange. It is the full faith and credit of the city.
It backstops. The question here is what's the actual source of payment?
Oh, it's the general gas tax revenue for the Bureau of Transportation.
Right. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. All right, this is a non-emergency. Does anyone wish to testify on item number 125? Moves to second reading next week. Can you please read together items number 126 and 127?
Update procurement code to conform to new state law and make technical corrections. And 127, authorize class special procurements to permit the city to enter into classes of contracts for goods and services.
Christine Moody, Procurement Services. As a result of the 2010 legislative session, the Public Contracting Code, ORS Chapters 279B and 279C, have been revised. The city must now update its own contracting rules, City Code Chapters 5.33 and 5.34, to include a provision to classify a disabled veteran-owned firm as a business enterprise under the Affirmative Action section of the code. Along with the update, because of the statute revisions, we have added 8 class special procurements to the code. A class special procurement allows the city to enter into contracts without seeking competition as specified in the findings. The class special procurements we are asking to authorize into code are utilities and utility-related services, goods and services or equipment required by a federal grant agreement, membership dues, which are unique to a professional or community organization, U.S. Postal Service products and materials, services related to legal advice that are selected by another person, such as a court or by a joint agreement between the city and another party, seminar, training, registration, and conference fees that are proprietary or controlled by a sole provider, event sponsorship that is only available from the organization or organizer of the event, stormwater improvements where all or a significant portion of the improvement that is being funded will be performed on private property and the property owner will be performing the work or the property owner hires their own contractor to perform the work. Other than these class special procurements and technical corrections to the code, an addition that council should note is the delegating of a contract authority up to $200,000 to the Director of Bureau of Environmental Services for the stormwater improvements and watershed restoration projects. This delegation will streamline the contracting process in order for BES to work with directly with property owners in support of the Greater Green program goals. And I will turn it back over to council if you have any questions.
Is this just item 127, or is it?
It's both items.
It's 126 and 127.
127 is the special procurement, and in order to add in all the class special procurements, 126 is adopting those into code. And then there were some technical corrections we needed to address in the code as well. So we put those into 126.
Great. Questions from council? Commissioner Fritz.
I'm wondering, in multiple sections in Exhibit A, you change that the city should respond within 7 business day to within a reasonable time frame, but it doesn't say what reasonable is. I wondered why that change was made.
The change, the 7 days is self-imposed. There is no response time in state statute. And oftentimes when we have protests to contract award because there's in-depth research we need to do, we aren't able to respond within that 7 days. So we just changed it as to not be limiting ourselves in that response.
And does that match what state law says as far as reasonable, or is there any other timeline in that we should put instead?
I believe state statute does not address the timeline at all.
Okay. So we
generally we will get it done within the 7 days or 2 weeks. But mm-hmm. if it is a large protest, or if it's, you know, it takes in-depth research, or we have multiple protests on one contract award, sometimes it takes us a little bit longer.
So we can change it to the more discretionary, and if it turns out to be, people would, I'm sure, bring it to our attention if you're not getting back to them in a timely manner.
Yes, and we respond to all protests.
And thank you. And then on 127, I was wondering why we don't have the language that specifies that only seminars, trainings, and conferences that are unique, proprietary, or controlled are special procurements. Didn't seem to be included in the new language, what you just read in the state requirement.
On 127 is the findings. And it was item F of Exhibit A. The seminar, training, and registration and conference fees?
Yeah, that it's only the ones that are unique proprietary controlled by sole provider, which are special procurements. The others would go through the regular.
Yes, if it's not unique in nature and it's not a sole proprietary, we would go out and get quotes for that type of training.
And do we have that in the regulations?
In the regulations, it does state in number 2 that if it's unique or made by a sole provider. So if somebody is wanting to enter into a contract for that and they can't justify that it's a unique situation, then we would require them to get quotes for that.
Okay.
Under the city code.
And that, thank you. That's mm-hmm. I knew you'd be able to answer all my questions. Then there was one other place where it said, this is in Exhibit A, page 1, section 533040, part C, number 1. It says that the award and intergovernmental agreements without special authorization by a separate ordinance of the City Council. I'm wondering why we have the word separate in there, because it seems to me we could have, it didn't have to be a completely separate ordinance in order to be able to execute the IGA. And I wondered if you might want to take
so
that.
This was, actually, this is kind of a cleanup. Last year we had brought to Council that under my authority I can sign IGAs up to $5,000. Over $5,000, they'll come to City Council.
Do we need the word separate in there? Wouldn't have to be an individual ordinance on the one issue. It could be bundled with something else if that wasn't.
Okay.
So unless the council objects, and it sounds like Director Moody said it's okay to take the separate out. No?
Wait, get some
without specific authorization by a separate ordinance. And that's what's saying that if there was an ordinance that came to council and the IGA wasn't done already, that they may delegate that signature authority to me. Sometimes they delegate it to the commissioner in charge.
The question
as well.
Is the separate ordinance, whether it would have to be an ordinance just on that one thing or whether it could be part of an ordinance on a bundle of things.
Oh, I get it. Yes. So we can make that change.
As a friendly amendment. Thank you.
Any other council discussion on these council calendar items? Does anyone wish to testify on items number 126 or 127? Sue, can you call the vote starting with 126?
Fritz. Well, thanks to Vanessa Olguin in my office, who's my intern, who is even more detail-oriented than I am, for pointing out these issues, which I'm glad
that's to... why we have an employee assistance program. and we will all be changing an intervention.
Cry for help.
Vanessa is absolutely fantastic, and you can't have her. And I am very impressed with Christine Moody's ability to hone down on those details also, and obviously you already have them covered. And that's what we need from our city employees. The details matter, and I really appreciate it. Aye.
Fish.
Commissioner Fritz, is this the young lady who is a lawyer from Berkeley?
Yes.
Very impressive. Aye.
Houseman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Please call the vote on 127.
Fritz.
Thank you again. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, to Christine and Jim and the entire team, thank you for your work on this. It's much appreciated. Aye. So approved. We are in recess till 6 p.m. Is that right? 6 p.m.